Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I've chosen for my theme today, I've taken a free text from James 4 in light of the New Year's season. And it's under the theme, God willing. God willing, number one, without it, our plans are meaningless and sinful. Number two, God's willing, with it, our heart and life are set on a right course. James writes, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." I have a tendency to use that expression. Someone says, "I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing." Maybe you've used that expression a lot too. Someone asked me a long time back, "Why do you always say, God willing, whenever you plan something? It seems like you're leaving up to some doubt as to whether or not something's going to happen. Why not simply say that you're going to do this or that, and then you won't have any weasel room to get out of your plans?" I explained that it has nothing to do with trying to weasel out of anything, but it has everything to do with acknowledging the truth that no amount of planning or work guarantees success without the Lord's blessing. The response was, "Well, that's a given, but you don't have to say it all the time." To which I replied, "My saying it all the time reminds me never to take this truth for granted. Without the Lord's will and blessings, all my work and plans are in vain." As we look out into the fast approaching, which is here, New Year, many of us have already started to make plans for the new year. Some of the youth in our congregation are planning which college to attend after they graduate. Other members are possibly looking at career changes. I know at least of one member who's planning on getting married. Our son Eric and future daughter-in-law Janie have plans for November. We've often talked about plans to get the whole family together and have a family reunion, and maybe you have been doing the same. And you know that making plans is fine and good as long as you don't forget to say, "The Lord willing." With St. James as our guide, let's explore for a moment why this phrase is so important, God willing. Without it, our plans are meaningless and sinful. With it, our heart and life are set on the right course. Part one, without it, our plans are meaningless and sinful. Our text begins, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." I know many of you have probably watched the TV show called Shark Tank. In this show, real-life entrepreneurs have to pitch their business ideas to these professional investors. I haven't watched a lot of the show, but the one thing that I've noticed that seems clear is that investors don't want any hint of uncertainty. They want to see well laid out plans. They want to know when and where you're going to be and how much money you're going to make. If an entrepreneur pitches an idea saying, well, I hope this or that's going to happen, boy, they just jump on that and verbally berate the entrepreneur for either not doing enough proper planning or for not believing in their product, either of which is reason enough for them to say, I'm out. This is the way of the world. It's up to you to plan and make your dream a reality. Keep your vision before your eyes and do everything to make it real. And if your plans don't succeed, you only have yourself to blame. This type of visionary thinking is very popular in business world and seems to be taught in every public classroom and on every athletic field of America. It's only if you believe in yourself, it's only if you pursue your goals as if they were reality that you can achieve anything. And that seems like powerful stuff. And it seems to work too. When I look at the business world and look at the accomplishment of Steve Jobs with the Apple Corporation, one marvels. Look at those successful investors on the Shark Tank who live by this motto. Maybe there's something to it. And so we're tempted to plan, pursue, work, and achieve, all the while forgetting something incredibly important. What James said, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Without the Lord's blessings, none of our plans will truly succeed. We might be planning to go on a vacation only to have a disease come up. It always seems invariable that I plan to take off some time after the Christmas season and come down with something. And, you know, I think all of us have experienced that or known somebody in our families that's going through that even this past week. We might be planning to pursue a job, only have to have the company that we're applying for go bankrupt. We are not in control of our destiny. God is. And we are only acting like fools if we don't acknowledge that truth. But there's an even greater danger than not merely having our plans pan out. And that danger is having all our plans actually work, of succeeding in everything we put our mind to. But to what end? What is your life, James asks. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. All those investors in Shark Tank are financially successful, but to what end? What is their life? In a moment, they could become like the prosperous farmer in the parable Jesus told. You remember the story. A farmer was blessed with this abundant crop. And what did he do with the blessing? He made plans, none of which thanked or included the Lord. His plans were simply to retire, take life easy, to enjoy the fruits of his labor. And what happened, you know? He died that very night. All his plans, all his work were for nothing. His entire life was a meaningless existence. And here, dear Christian, is the greatest danger in forgetting the Lord in our plans. If our plans fail, we will at least be inclined to repent. But if we succeed in all of our endeavors, in all our plans we made without the Lord, and then what? then we will be tempted to make more and more plans without the Lord. We will be tempted to make ourselves, instead of the Lord, the center of our lives. We will be tempted to become like the prosperous farmer in Jesus' parable, who had it all and died, whose life was as meaningless as a mist that it appears for a moment and goes away. Worst of all, we will have become like the one who gained the world and yet forfeited his immortal soul. As it is, James says, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Yes, foolish and sinful are the plans undertaken without the Lord. Foolish and sinful are even the best, most successful plans that people brag about. I wonder if the Lord is cringing in heaven when he hears all the talk of our accomplishments, which forget to give him glory. How much it must break his heart when he hears Christians talk about their earthly success, how much money they made, how many new toys they got for Christmas, the new career that they've pursued and gotten, the new boyfriend and new girlfriend they have, and how these things make them so happy. And all the while, not mentioning Jesus' sacrifice for the sins of the world, the gospel in word and sacrament, the fellowship of the saints, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and all other spiritual gifts that truly make us eternally happy. How it must sadden the Lord, even to the point of angering him, when we don't involve him in our planning, invoke him in our pursuits, and thank him for all that we have at present and will have in the future. James says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Lord, have mercy on us for all our sinful planning, planning that did not involve you or ask your blessing. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and let us understand that our lives are completely in your hands, that every good and gracious gift we have comes from you. Part two. With it, that is God's will, our heart and life are set on the right course. The Lord hears our prayer of repentance and forgives us for Jesus' sake. All of our sins, all of them, our bragging, our boasting of things that we've accomplished without his care. All of our sins have been placed on the cross of Jesus and crucified with him. Jesus' resurrection shows that our sins are gone for good. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We are at peace with God. More than that, he wants to instruct us how to proceed, how to make proper plans and resolutions for the future. St. James writes that instead of filling your head with worldly, visionary planning, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live or do this or do that. Now, please understand Scripture correctly. It isn't implying that the difference between proper and improper Christian planning is merely adding the phrase, God willing. Lord willing is not some magical incantation that the Lord hears and immediately responds to, regardless of how thoughtlessly it might have been said. No, saying God or Lord willing means that we truly want the will of the Lord to take place. So it also means that we will sit down and think about what the Lord's will truly is. And what is the will of the Lord? It is certainly not that we live physically rich and easy lives. So what is it then? It is that Jesus' saving name is glorified throughout the world. God's will is that we, His children, love and trust in Him above all else because of the love He expressed in saving us from our sins and calling us to faith. God's will is that the gospel take first and center place in our lives, and that we don't merely try to fit the Lord in our busy lives, but that we fit our busy lives into the Lord's will. God's will is that we place our relationship with Him above all career choices, relationships, family, leisure, that we place Him above everything. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God wants us to head off to a nunnery or a monastery somewhere and seclude ourselves off from the world, or that it's even sinful to pursue a career or make plans of engaging in some sort of leisure. What I am saying is that instead of asking the question, how will I benefit from such plans, we might prayerfully ask God, Lord, how can my plans glorify You? How can my career choice give You glory as I use the talents and gifts that You have given me to find my place in this world? How can I give glory in my marriage, letting me be an example of the forgiving love that You have for me and showing the world that children are a treasure to be cherished? Lord, how can I glorify You with my leisure plans, enjoying Your creation and the family You've given me, so that I'm refreshed to work hard at my vocation, knowing that I'm not working merely for money, but for You, that no matter what my occupation is, be it farmer, plumber, machinist, teacher, You are working through me to provide needed food and service for the world. Fellow Christians, saying, Lord willing, certainly means that we will include the Lord in our planning. It also means that we will remember Jesus' own encouragement when our planning, when He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, children of the One who guides all history, by all means, set goals and make plans for the coming year. But remember to submit all those plans to the Lord's will. He loves you dearly and wants what is eternally best for you and for me. With His gospel in your mind and salvation in your heart, you can be sure that whatever course your life takes, the Lord will direct it to accomplish your eternal happiness. That is worthy of our pursuit. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.